The government stuffs us full of economic indicators this morning, just in time for Thanksgiving turkey.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. In a moment, we'll dig into this morning's numbers on jobs and business activity with an economist. But first, where's Wall Street? The Dow is up 84 points right now at 11,121. The NASDAQ up about 1.25%. And the S&P 500 up about 0.75%. European markets are higher as well as investors shift focus to Spain and Portugal and wonder whether Ireland's debt problems will lead to bailouts in those countries. Shiny earnings this morning from Tiffany's as consumers start to buy fancier jewelry again. But while sales were up for Tiffany's almost 30% overseas, they fell at the flagship store on Fifth Avenue here in Manhattan. Now let's get into the economic indicators we're getting from Washington this morning. The number of people filing for unemployment benefits last week fell to 407,000. That's the lowest level since a couple months before Lehman Brothers collapsed. Let's bring in our regular Wednesday economist, Richard DeKayser of the Parthenon Group. He's with us live from Boston. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So what do you make of this drop in people filing for unemployment benefits?
Well, it's very simple. Firms are laying off fewer folks, and the reason that's important is because jobs really have been the shoe everyone's waiting to drop. Profits this year are going to be up 28-30%. GDP even will be up somewhere close to 3%, but employment up less than 1%. Now, that's not altogether unusual. It's very characteristic when an economic expansion begins that people try and get as much as they possibly can out of their existing labor force before adding new hires. But we are at that point now where we ought to see employment picking up. This tells us we're moving in that direction, and that's good news. Not quite as good as we'd like it, but certainly a big improvement over where we've been.
Okay, and quickly, Richard, we got another number this morning on durable goods. It dropped by a little more than 3%. Explain what durable goods orders are and what that drop means.
Sure. These are items that will generally have a shelf life, useful life of 3 years or better. The reason we focus on this is that it is one indication of business confidence. Businesses will defer these purchases. If they're worried, they'll make them if they're confident. The October results stink. No sugarcoating that. But they're notoriously volatile. So just the previous month, September, saw a 5% increase. And if you look at 3, 6, 12-month trends, we're still looking at pretty strong growth. So,
okay, Richard DeKayser, economist of the Parthenon Group. Sorry to cut you off, but we've got to go. Thanks, and have a happy Thanksgiving.
You too. My pleasure.
A U.S. aircraft carrier is on its way to South Korea. And with all those tensions between North and South Korea, we wondered what that means for China. Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports now from Shanghai.
So far, China's taken a why-can't-we-all-just-get-along approach to the conflict. It's called for a return to the six-party talks between the main countries in the region. There's not much else it can do, says Tsai Jian, professor of Korean studies at Shanghai's Fudan University.
China supports North Korea, but that doesn't mean we support North Korea against South Korea. South Korea is too big of an economic partner to China, and that's crucial to China's economic development.
South Korea is China's third largest trading partner. In fact, South Korea is running a $30 billion trade surplus with China, thanks in part to China's enormous demand for Korean automobiles. Economically, North Korea isn't doing much for China, nor for anyone else. Still, China continues to support North Korea because it doesn't want an American military presence along its border should the country collapse. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at Vanguard.com/public radio. And by Novo Nordisk, since 1923, innovative developer of diabetes treatments and delivery devices at NovoNordisk-US.com.
You know when you go to an ATM that's not owned by your bank, you have to pay a fee? Well, LA Times consumer columnist David Lazarus says the real problem is that you have to pay another fee. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
So what gives?
What gives is the banks are basically double dipping. They're charging you an average $3 when you take your card out of network, but then your home bank will also hit you with a roughly $2 charge, which they call a convenience fee. B of A charges $2, Chase charges $2, Wells Fargo charges $2.50.
David, how long has this been going on?
Well, it's more of a recent phenomenon, to be honest. When the banks first rolled out ATMs in the 1970s, there was no charge whatsoever for going out of network. They wanted people to feel comfortable with this technology because, of course, it saves the banks oodles of cash. It wasn't until about 2003 or so that we started seeing an average $2 charge being introduced. Now it's $3 charges, and some banks are charging $4.
$4. And let me ask you this question, which I'm sure the answer will be difficult to hear. What does it actually cost them to have me go to a bank that's not in my network?
Bupkis, my friend. You talk to consumer advocates and they say it maybe costs a penny or two to process these transactions because the economies of scale are so huge, millions of transactions every day. So as with processing debit card transactions or credit card transactions, there are so many ATM withdrawals that it really only costs maybe a penny. All the rest is pure gravy.
Now, David, Congress passed that big credit card act back in February that was supposed to crack down on fees. Did it do anything about this situation?
No, not with the ATMs, because the banks can argue correctly that you're not forced to pay these fees. All you've got to do is stay in network with your home bank and you can skirt these fees. Well, that's true. On the other hand, at $5 or so to get your money, that's price gouging, pure and simple. So since the Federal Reserve has cracked down on debit card transaction fees, requiring that they now be reasonable and proportional to the bank's costs, I wonder why the same thinking can't apply to ATM withdrawals.
Well, I guess we'll have to keep wondering. And by the way, you will be on Marketplace Money this weekend answering listener questions. But thanks so much for joining us here on The Morning Report.
Thank you.
And finally, Facebook is about to get the official trademark on the word face. The U.S. Patent Office has given Facebook the tentative go-ahead when it comes to telecommunications services. No word on what this means for CBS's Face the Nation, which, by the way, is about twice as old as Facebook's founder, Mark Zuckerberg. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
On our series Economy 4.0, we've been looking at alternative ways of measuring success. Here's another one.
There's two lawyers in the next house. I think they're both lawyers. Lawyer across the street can swing a dead cat and find a lawyer in this neighborhood.
I'm Tess Vigeland, but you know what? Not all neighborhoods are created equal. Next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.